Dungeons and Crusaders, you are now listening to Vox Arcana, a production of Holosuite Media. By the will of the immortal Emperor of Mankind, it has been decreed that the following broadcast of Vox Arcana may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed on this Voxcast are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partner. Audience discretion is advised.
Attention on the battle fleet. This is Captain Ramaskos of the Imperial Star Cruiser Vox Arcona. Please listen carefully to the following announcement.
In accordance with the Codex Astartes, we hope that you have a productive trip to Arcona and arrive with the will to deliver the Emperor's judgment. Thank you.
Greetings, Crusaders. Welcome to Vox Arcona Mission 21, recording Sunday, October 11th, 2015, and coming to you from the Battlefleet Charon in the Segmentum Obscurus. I am Katsu, and I am pleased to share the fleet's Vox Relay today with Gigabyte. How are you, sir?
Hello, I'm cool. Okay. Thank you very much.
Knock, knock. Okay, there you go. I was like, where did he go? He passed out. I couldn't be... Yeah. Okay. All right, so we are here to bring you the latest and greatest in our opinions and thoughts about Vox Arcona. We, you know what, we love Vox Arcona. We kind of over the moon for that place. 10 of 10 would podcast again. It's pretty awesome. No, we're here to talk to you.
Totally.
Yeah, totally. We are here to talk to you about Eternal Crusade. Ha ha! Third time's the charm. Just stuff that's gone on in the EC universe and stuff that's been going on in Into the Warp and stuff that's also been going on in the larger 40K universe, as well as to talk to you about all those awesome iTunes reviews that we're not getting. I have someone who specifically told me that they sent in a review, but I guess like iTunes, I guess filters them or something and then approves them all. I don't know. I don't know the mechanics of it. I know that someone has specifically told me that they sent a review in. And so, I love you, brother. You did awesome for us, and we hope to see your review up there among the two others. Anyway, so, we got a couple of things going on in the larger Eternal Crusade universe. Graham McNeil's next story, Unnatural Selection, dropped, which is Ultramarines and Ultramarine Scouts and Wolf Scouts, yet no Scouts in Eternal Crusade. But they're fighting Tyranids, and specifically some crazy mutant Tyranid, which I think is a hyper-evolving, like, proto-queen, proto-tyrant or something like that. Did you get a chance to read that story?
Yeah, I had kind of earlier on. It does look quite interesting after that.
He has a frost axe.
Yeah.
Or a frost sword. Either way. But the Wolf Scout, like, I can't wait. Like, I want there to be the release of the four factions. I want there to be launch. And then I want, whenever they release the fifth faction, I want them to release Scouts. Specifically Wolf Scouts. Because Wolf Scouts, I want them, here's the deal. Here's what I want to do. I want there to be Vanguard Marines for the Blood Angels, the Ultramarines, the Dark Angels, and the Imperial Fists. But I don't want Sternguard. I want Sternguard for all of those, but I don't want Sternguard for the Space Wolves. I want Wolf Scouts, because that's actually lore appropriate. Because y'all don't have Vanguard and Sternguards, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't even deal with those. Vanguard, Sternguard, because that's all a matter of company, because the Vanguard and the Sterngard are first company in a normal chapter. But
well, we don't do that.
We don't do those stupid things. We give our veteran Marines of hundreds and hundreds of years of warfare, we strap them in weaker armor and we send them out. Then they die, but it's cool. But it's also unnatural selection. If you're a Space Marine player, like an Ultramarine, it's got some cool backup kind of stuff. But it really looked like it was centering on... It's actually a continuation of, what is his name? Caro or Caster or something like that.
Caster, yeah.
The Ultramarine from the very first game. So at any rate, we've got... So the Marines and the Ultramarines, they're doing awesome stuff. And even then, they're deferring to the Wolf Scout. And I thought that was simultaneously funny and a little obnoxious because they kept deferring to the Wolf Scout, and the Wolf Scout kept being better. But to be honest, it's Marines and Sergeants, and then here's this veteran Marine, you know what I'm saying? So... I think it would have been a little more even footing. I think it would have been a little more even footing had there been first company there. But I'm glad, in a way, I'm glad there weren't. You know.
Well, that's the difference between Wolf Scouts and normal Scouts, isn't it? Normal Scouts are your new guys. You know, the newly enhanced.
Yeah.
Whereas the Space Wolves are well veteran Space Marines.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's because the Space Wolves eschew the Codex formation. There isn't a first company for these veterans to go into, so instead they kind of form these Wolf Scout regiments where they, if they don't go Longfang, which is the Space Wolf Devastators, then they'll go Wolf Scout. Or isn't it that Wolf Scouts have, like, their packs have been kind of sufficiently reduced or something like that?
That's right, yeah. What Space Wolves are the people who have lost their packs, or people who cannot work in pack.
Right.
Those who don't play well with others.
Right. So definitely it's an interesting read, and it's a pretty cool little fight scene, very reminiscent. It almost struck me as kind of a reverse of 13th Warrior to a degree. You know, so instead of 12 Vikings and a Arab, it was like a bunch of Marines. It was like 20 Marines and a Wolf Scout. So,
yeah. And it's Space Wolf, yeah.
Yeah. Because the stones have decreed. No kidding. Let's see. State of the Crusade 9 came out. State of the Crusade 9 came out. It's the usual stuff.
Yeah.
The big takeaway, we're not going to bother you. We're not going to bother you with quotes and stuff. But the big takeaway is that Nathan Gwyndown, and go to the Eternal Crusade site, read State of the Crusade 9. Nathan goes down a bullet point list of things that they have changed as a result of player feedback. And I can attest to the fact that these are things that we have seen brought up by players that have been later on corrected by the EC team. So, you know, this isn't one of these feel good, oh, everything's good, everything's great. It's, you know, or, oh yeah, we've listened to everything that's been said. But it's actually stuff that's based on player feedback and stuff. So it's definitely cool, and it's definitely cool to get that list of things that, were changed directly as a result of player feedback.
That's always nice to see.
And that leads us to something that's kind of, I don't know, there's something that's kind of chapping my rear.
A little bit polarizing.
Should we save that till after the end of the warp? Because this, I have a feeling that's going to go long.
Yeah, man.
Okay, we're going to come back to this thing I have to say.
Save the fun till last.
Yeah, we'll save the fun till last. So there's End of the Warp. It came out. It was Katie and Nicola and Peter are part of the UI team. And then Brent and Nathan came in later. They talked about enhancements to the map UI, such as spawn location highlighting, capture progress on the deployment map, which was actually cool. It's, you know, you'll see the point and you'll see kind of a progress circle around the point to show you how close it is to being captured.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Which was kind of cool. So also they're talking about adding a map legend in soon, but the goal is to keep the clutter down, so they may do a thing where you've got the map legend that's there, but only if you press and hold a key so you can see it, you know? In terms of squad management, they talked about the squad management UI and that it is coming in this week. Players can create their own squads, leave the ones they're in, and squad leaders can both promote a person to squad lead or they can just kick them. So it'll be a...
I was watching that and I was thinking to myself, yep, standard group mechanics you have in every single MMO.
Yeah, and standard shooter mechanics for squad shooters too. But it's going to be a good thing to... It's going to be a good thing to be able to finally put that in, because if nothing else, what you can always do is you can, you know, it's impossible to put everybody right now. It's impossible to set it up so that your entire squad can pre-jump into combat. But what can happen is if you're on a 16-player map and 8 of your guys are VM, or 8 of your guys are Strike Force Ultra, or 8 of your guys are the Dewa Boys or whatever, then you can go ahead and, you know, move your squads around so that your guys are all working together. And that this is the beginning of squad formation and squad maneuver and stuff like that. I think it'll be a great idea. I think it'll be a great move, I guess.
That's,
you know,
very
what I'm saying?
That's very true.
Yeah. And also, if somebody is just being a jerk and just needs to go, then a squad leader can handle that. You know what I'm saying?
Good point.
Also, there's discussion about doing quick communication. So, target something, hold down Q, it'll bring up a basic radio menu. One side says need, the other side says respond. Your needs will be things like, I need ammo, I need healing, I need a ride, I need support. Your response will be things like yes, no, affirmative, you know, not possible, whatever. Squad leaders will add the order tab to their radio menu, and that'll be things like rally to me, fall back, push the offensive, go, 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 those kind of things. Whereas warlords will add the stratagem option to the radio menu, and they haven't shown that yet, but that'll probably be where they, you know, call down. That's probably going to be where they're like, I need fire support on this location, I need drop pods to deploy to this location, I need this to do that. So
all converge here, things like this. Yeah.
Right. Well, it'll also be good to see, say, warlords have the ability to use a stratagem that calls down, like, the next 20 drop pods will drop there. You know what I'm saying? So that'll be a cool thing. We'll have to see how that plays out, obviously. Hold Q, hover over, and select. They're also working on making it, obviously, keypad compatible, like for controllers and stuff. And it'll output, they're looking to have it output as both a text thing in the chat log, as well as an audio bark in close proximity, so that you're able to see it in the text chat, and as well as hear it if you're nearby. So that's a good thing. Also, 2 weeks from now, they're talking about deploying the new login screen. And if you don't already have it, Eternal Crusade account creation, which of course we've already got Eternal Crusade accounts because we're founders. The login, when it pops up, it'll be a one-time login for us. It will bind your Eternal Crusade account to your Steam account. There will be character sign-ins and things will begin to take shape for the next part, which is progression. And that is, as we said last episode, the focus now, the roadmap forward for the rest of the year is player progression, persistent XP, loadouts, things like that. Customization, variation, things like that. Also, they were working on the idea of adding... Say what?
Sorry, I went, yay!
Oh, yeah.
I heard, coughed at the same time.
I was going to say, I thought I heard yay, but it came out, eh, and I'm like, is there a problem? We need to... they're also working on adding some kind of explanation of the mechanics behind different game modes so that people... obviously, we've been able to participate in matches, so you know, we've gotten used to the to those mechanics, but newer people who jump straight in, or maybe people that don't watch the Eternal Crusade stream, like Angry Joe, won't be as confused when things happen. Oh, I'm going to light up today. I'm feeling the fire. Anyway, also, there is the Fortress map should be coming down next week, and they also hinted at tanks.
Yay.
Specifically another tank that, quote, we don't know what kind of tank it would be. Oh, I can't wait for siege and fortressing. So do you want to cover some of the Q&A or...
Do I want a Q&A? Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Yes.
So, question coming up, can we have first person / third person, like in Battlefront? The guys responded,
Battlefront?
Sure.
Who watches Battlefront?
Dollars? Exactly. I don't know who the hell would watch Battlefront. I know
who Angry Army would, anyway.
yeah, they said, sure, with an extra $30 million. Battlefront targets a specific audience, so yeah, maybe not. When will we see player progression? They responded, by the end of the year, we'll have the progression loadouts, weapon variation, persistent XP, loadouts first, then progression. They said, so that's all good. Kind of what we expected, really.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know,
Well, the good thing is this, you know, they said first we're going to nail down the shooter experience, then we're going to move to the massive and the multi, you know, the massive whatnot. And this is really sort of starting to make a transition into, you know, what they referred to this episode as the deep shooter, you know.
No, definitely. Apparently, sub-factions will be in, quote-unquote, very soon. I'm really getting sick and tired of the company saying soon.
Well, I mean, the good thing is, their soon has actually started to mean within a couple of weeks, so I'm not too broken up on that regard, you know?
That's true. It's just frustrating when you want to play the Space Wars.
Right. Or, you know, real Codex Marines, like the Imperial Fists.
Oh, shit. question came up saying, you know, will there be game modes without banners? Answer was not exactly, but the Fortress has multiple objectives, such as a longer timer, but limited lives for the defenders. Again, I can't wait for that map.
It'll definitely be interesting to see how it plays. The one thing I wanted to see about the Fortress mode is I think Fortress and Squad are going to have to come in at very similar times, just simply because if you want an orderly takedown, I mean, there's always, you know, I reference back to Planet Side, but that's because that's the game that I want this game to become better than. But in mass engagements, right? In mass engagements in Planet Side where you have to run multiple squads, you set it up. Okay, this squad is your breach squad. This squad, you're all going to organize together. That way you're all sharing your same comm link. You know, you're all sharing your same communication channel. And the only person who is going to hear platoon channel is your squad leaders. And the only people that are going to hear, you know, massive deployment beyond that are your platoon leaders. So, saying, okay, here's how we're going to handle this. We're going to throw our maxes and our engineers into Alpha Squad so that they can jump in and they can handle their business and communicate without being caught up with the stupidity of chat that has nothing to do with them, of say our light assaults or our infiltrators or our whatevers, you know what I'm saying? Using Planet Side as a reference. So like in this, there's a siege, so there's the planet, the fortress map. I tend to prefer to play Sorcerer for reasons that I can't talk about, but if I'm a Sorcerer, the last thing I need to hear is is what the Chaos Armor line is doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, my job is to run with the infantry and keep them standing and forward moving. You know what I'm saying? what I don't have to do is I don't have to escort the Vindicators around or the Predators around. That's somebody else who can fix equipment's job. My job is to keep the infantry running. So that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going with this is with the fortress, you're going to have multiple objectives. It's going to be bust open the door, clear this. There's this other thing that needs to be handled on the other side of the map. There's this other thing that needs to happen in the back of the structure. And none of those things do what I may not need to know all of those things. I may only need to know one or two things that just my squad is responsible for doing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry. Anyway, I love. Basically, I want. Cool. I can't wait for Fortress Mode.
Yeah. So achievements. Yes, there are many already in Steam. I think you have an idea for a possible achievement there, don't you?
Oh no, that was,
that mentioned in the
that was actually mentioned in the Crusade. Is that there should be an achievement for chucking a grenade at a guy's ass. But that's what they said.
Thinking, was that your suggestion or no, was that, that actually was, in the
No, that was them. But also the Steam achievements, let's back this up here. The Steam achievements that are in Steam right now will probably carry over pretty effectively to consoles and whatnot, but you have to but there may be other ones and they're going to have a sense of humor. And then, as they said, this struck me as a little weird, but and of course 40K has a good sense of humor too, and I'm like, what, they do
really?
I don't know.
I don't.
It's fine because according to the Eternal Crusade team,
remember a sense of humor in 40K?
Well, it's fine. According to the Eternal Crusade devs, Dark Angels and Space Wolves are friends, and they share a camaraderie and a respect. It's pretty cool.
Apparently so. Okay.
This question, I wrote this down. Kind of weird. They said, will each base be different, or will there just be like a pre-formatted template of what the base is going to, you know, what the each base will look like? They said that they're trying to keep each map the same, just simply for, you know, the ability to reuse good, just to reuse the facilities and whatnot. Maybe move some buildings around, but what's really going to be different is, of course, the biomes. So, you know, if you're dealing with a snow situation, or if you're dealing with a snow situation or a swamp situation, or you're dealing
with jungle,
then I mean that's going to change how the game gets played each time. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you're dealing with the same basic structures, because obviously, let's say these buildings come from an STC. For those of you that aren't super versed in the 40K universe, that stands for Standard Template Construct, which come from the Dark Age of Technology, and they literally, if there's an STC that produces Tesla cars, then that is what it does, and it, once you turn it on, that bad boy will just start spitting out Tesla cars so long as it still has raw materials. It's not a giant factory.
That will never stop.
Right. Like the one that they found in in the Eisenhorn books, it's not a, I mean, it's a massive structure, but it's not like a factory. It just keeps cranking out equipment. And some of the STCs have lots of patterns in them, and some of them only have a couple. There's never been a fully complete STC ever recovered. So, but the thing is this, if your STC is for a manufactorum building, then it's just going to crank a manufactorum building out anywhere you turn it on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, the thing to bear in mind is that, you know, we're in a situation where these armies, especially Space Marines, Chaos Space Marines, will pretty much always have, like, templated bases, because they're all based around a standard like a jello mold almost for a base. That's the way military works.
Yeah. So really you're just, you know, like you said, you're alternating biomes, and then there's what they called mutations, which were, you know, okay, well, it's going to be raining, or it's going to be this, or there's going to be a tyrannic invasion, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, what else did we have in there?
Apparently, power fists and axes will be assault only, as they should be. I know you have, like, sergeants and captains and stuff that may have the odd sidearm of a power axe or a power fist, like that, but in a game like this, no, really, just keep them as assault.
Well, plus, eventually, when Terminators drop, they're going to have power fists. Because I really doubt they're going to give every power... I seriously doubt they're going to give every Terminator, you know, two weapons that aren't... that don't ultimately have the power fist. I think they're going to do Stormbolt or power fist with a later upgrade for assault cannons and things like that, so...
Yeah, no, totally. PvE enclosed alpha? No, but they will by the end of the year. Okay.
Yeah, they said they were playing with that kind of in-house, and they're still in the process of developing it and some of the more advanced beasts, but they're also having to basically scratch build the AI, so that'll be...
Of course.
So that'll definitely take a little bit of time to get up in mobile, but once they do that... Mm-hmm. Which they said, ideally, that'll be by the end of the year that they'll have that in-game, so.
Nice. I'm actually kind of looking forward to how they work with the Tyranids in-game.
I'm gonna wait and see, because I'm still, like I said, I still want to participate in a Fortress Assault while there's a Tyranid incursion, you know?
That would be quite interesting, I have to admit, definitely.
I'm down. I'm going to do this right. We're going to do this.
So someone asked, when will player cap be lifted?
That was actually Valrak.
Ah, cool. Apparently the two base maps are best at 16x16, but Fortress play will be bigger. Interesting. I wonder how large they expect it to get.
100,000 on 1,000. That's how it has to be. 1,000
by 1,000.
No, that's
how big Miguel expected it to get.
No, 2,000 by 16 million. That's how big it's going to be.
Yep, and also, siege time! New tank inbound this week.
Which, it's going to be the Vindicator. I mean, they said, oh, well, we're not going to be 100% sure what it's going to be, but yeah, it's the Vindicator, guys.
Especially if they're talking about Siege. I mean, there is not a tank on the Space Marine army that it could be, really. Is there?
Land Raider. No. No, we're not ready for Land Raiders yet.
Land Raiders aren't Siege equipment. What are you on about?
Land Raiders are whatever they want to be. And I hate to tell you this. But with two sponsored double las cannons, it can be a siege weapon if it wants to be.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you tell the driver of that Land Raider that he can't then walk up, drive up to a castle wall and shoot it.
Right. No. If a Land Raider wants to sit there with two double linked twin las, then it's gonna do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Twin linked las. I'm sorry. I'm bad. I don't know what double linked anything is. So, let's see. This brings us to my rant. Okay, let me back up.
Take a deep breath.
Oh, Emperor, Lauda Emperor, be with me. All right. So here's how this is gonna happen.
Should we warn the listeners first? If you don't mind hearing other people's opinions on popular internet celebrities, go ahead and listen. If you are a little bit sensitive to other people's opinion and get easily offended in some cases, please feel free to tune out for the next, I'd say 10-15 minutes while Katsu goes on a rant.
Okay. Well, first off, as we preface this show at the beginning of every show, This show is entirely our opinions. This opinion that I am about to speak is entirely my own. And this is something, because the thing is this, it occurs to me that many of our listeners do not remember my time at Beyond the Veil, which was the Secret World podcast, or my time at Tribbles in Ecstasy, which is Holosuite's Star Trek Online podcast. And the Holosuite Media's cornerstone is that we speak our minds. And if we don't like something, we say we don't like something. The benefit, of course, is that, because ultimately...
Oh, boy, howdy do we.
Okay, because ultimately, we don't podcast about something we don't give a shit about. And we love all of the shows that, you know, all the games that we podcast about. I mean, we wouldn't stick to a weekly broadcast schedule.
Totally.
Ask Darren and I on Twitter or Facebook or whatever if we would rather be doing anything else than podcasting, you know, not necessarily podcasting about Eternal Crusade, because we'd love to talk about Eternal Crusade all the time, but like, to be honest, I've got, you know, the World Series is about to come on again, and we're going to support the Texas Rangers. No, not the Dallas Rangers, the Texas Rangers, because they're the only real team from Texas. Anyway, moving on. So here's what grinds my gears. What I don't like is I don't like when someone has been given something exclusive, when someone has been given something that nobody else in the community is given, and they burn that opportunity for the sake of viewership and for the sake of ratings, or I don't know, I don't care. I don't grovel for money from people, so I don't know. I don't know how that plays. But, so Angry Joe has the exclusive right to Twitch from the Eternal Crusade Alpha. So, first off, you should go look at it, because it supports and it shows Angry Joe that this is something you want to see. He broadcasted about 15 to an hour on the 24th, and then it was about a half an hour or so on the 27th. But first off, when Angry Joe broadcasted, he jumped in, he played an assault marine, then he got pissed off that he couldn't take an objective, except for the fact that if you paid any attention to Eternal Crusade, you'd know that that tacticals are the only people that can take objectives. Assaults can't do it. But he didn't know that. So he sits here and he's trying to figure out how to do this, and of course he's dying, and of course he's failing in a first person shooter, because he's trying to do things that with a cursory knowledge of this game he would have known not to do. And he could have made that presentation look really good. But instead he decides to just fail constantly, not do his effective research, and as a result, that podcast suffered, or that Twitch suffered for it. When Dell did his on the 27th, clearly he had a better knowledge of shooters, he had maybe a marginal knowledge more of Eternal Crusade, and he fared significantly better on the field than Angry Joe did. The thing is this, after the 27th of September, there have been no Eternal Crusade Twitches. The person with the exclusive broadcast rights to Eternal Crusade has not broadcasted a single Eternal Crusade thing since the 27th. Instead, he has dealt with Tom Clancy's whatever Siege, and with daily coverage of people Rainbow playing Six Battlefront. Six. What?
And Vermintide.
Yeah, well, I'm not gonna badmouth Vermintide, because Vermintide's a Warhammer property, but
yeah.
But the point of the matter is Battlefront, you know, Battlefront and everything else. And here's the deal: it's an open beta with Battlefront is an open beta with no NDA, so everybody and their brother is broadcasting Battlefront. This is, you know, and I understand that 40K is not exactly it's not Star Wars, you know. People don't sit here and wait for the next movie with bated breath. Movie companies don't plan their schedules around the next big 40K movie release, you know. But at the same time, you have an exclusive. And not only do you have an exclusive, the company that is giving you this exclusive is telling people who Twitch every single day, and they want to Twitch your game, and they want to hand this out to the community, the company that is handing you exclusive rights to broadcast their alpha, and they lift their NDA for you, and you are busy sitting here playing every other game in the universe. Meanwhile, those of us who want to broadcast, we feel passionate about the subject, we go out of our way for this, we are being told not, we are being told to maintain our NDA, we are being told that at this point, Angry Joe is the only person with the exclusive rights to this. So here's the entire sum totality of my rant. Either Angry Joe needs to lose that and somebody else needs to get it, or something needs to be done so that he gets back on the ball and actually starts using the exclusivity instead of abandoning Eternal Crusade for the next thing that's going to boost his ratings higher. Because at this point, it all Angry Joe has done, there was a momentary flash in the pan for viewership for an hour and a half, and then it has been forgotten and lost in the internet morass. Because here's the deal. After four more weeks, after two more weeks of Angry Joe broadcasts, the Eternal Crusade streams will be buried on page two. And if you know anything about the internet, nothing is ever found on page two of an internet search. So
no, it has to be on page one.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Eternal Crusade either needs to push their exclusivity from Angry Joe, or they need to take it back from Angry Joe and give it to somebody who broadcasts routinely and who would kill to put their play out on the net. And at the, you know, there's bias that I could throw out there, but I'm just saying, because here's the deal. Like, if we twitched. Then that would be one thing. But at this moment, our priority here at Vox Arcona isn't to Twitch. We just want to be able to talk about what we do in closed alpha, and we can't. But there are Twitch broadcasters beginning to line up in the forums. You can go to the forums and you can look at this list of people who want to Twitch this game and who are not being given the ability to do so. Meanwhile, this guy who gets facts wrong, who plays worth crap, and who is, he's only on this list for the sheer fact of his fanboyism and the fact that he's a name in the internet industry. Like, I think it's a slap in the face to the community, and I think it's the primary person doing the slapping is Angry Joe. Maybe as a backup, there's some slapping in the face happening from behavior, but really, like, if you're given something, you go out of your way to make sure it's worth something. That's me, 8 minutes, and well, I'm done talking about it. You can go ahead.
I mean, the thing that really gets me about Angry Joe is the fact that if you go back and you, like, watch some of his videos in terms of Games Workshop properties, like Blood Bowl, for instance, when that first came out, oh my god, he fanboyed something chronic over that. Even when he first went in and played the alpha for build, the look on his face was that of extreme utter joy. He is a GW fan, or at least he may have been a GW fan at one point. And that makes it even worse in my opinion, because for him to be able to get this activity of Eternal Crusade and not even know a thing about the bloody game between the point where he played the alpha and now, and B, maybe, you know, stream a couple of hours in terms of gameplay, and then just abandon it for something else that may get him even more bloody views. It's a slap in the face to every GW fan that's playing this game, quite frankly.
And as it's known, GW fans, yeah, and as you know, GW fans don't take kindly to being crapped on.
No, definitely not.
The whole thing reeks of selling out, especially if you're given something. Like, here's the deal: if GW gave me, you know, if Games Workshop gave me exclusive reveals of what's going to happen with the new Tau Codex, right? And allows me to talk about it on the internet, then I'm going to do that, and I'm going to sell the hell out of it. But because that's my giving back to the community. But like I said, what looks like here is it looks like selling out to whatever's going to put out the best reviews and the best views. And I talk to my stepkids about this all the time. Your life is not represented in the number of YouTube views you get. You know, it's a matter of what you support, what you back. And everybody and their brother is going to be sitting here kissing ass on Battlefront. So, at any rate, that's me. That's my rant.
Before we get the comments of, oh, you're just saying that because, you know, you want to get the exclusivity. Fucking right, we want to get the exclusivity. I've wanted to do a podcast about this. Ever since the first bloody Twitch, I wanted to do a podcast about this game. Except no one on Holosuite Media knew anything about GW. And then Katsu came along and everything fell into place. So I've wanted to do a show about this for fucking ages, and I've not had the chance to. Now I have the chance to do a show about it. Now I get into the fucking Founders Alpha. And we get overshadowed by Mr. Angry Joe, who's supposed to be Mr. Fanboy and, you know, loving the bloody game and all this crap. And he goes and plays bloody Battlefront. Sorry, but, you know, I'm a little bit pissed off.
Yep. And the thing is this, like, even if, because, you know, for me, I'd love to broadcast from the game, but more importantly, you know, like I've said before, we just want the ability to talk about what we do in the game. But there are other people who, like I said, they want to Twitch. They want to Twitch as much as Angry Joe is twitching about Battlefront, but strictly about EC. And I would watch the hell out of those streams. But that doesn't, I mean, like, I'd even create a whole entire segment where we talked about other people twitching. But the fact is, instead of the community twitching, they went with the name, and the name has completely made this game look stupid. It's fun to see, and like I said, I watched it because it's an Eternal Crusade stream, but like I said, we haven't seen anything else out of him in, what, 2 weeks? But every single day there's something. Yeah, but every single day there's something from Angry Joe about any game but this. Anyway. So, as I said, we cover Eternal Crusade.
Rant over.
Close enough. But anyway, so we cover Eternal Crusade, but we also cover the wider 40K universe. Really, very quickly, not a lot here. They've released the Ghost Keel Tau battlesuit, which looks pretty cool. Again, power suits and power...
Not a lot here.
It's the Ghost Keel. I'm like...
It's a sexy model.
I like the helmet.
You stretch.
Okay, what do you like about it?
Oh, it's awesome! I love this model. It's just sexy. It's a combination of, like, the older stealth suit look.
Okay, first off, like, back it up. Not the older stealth... Oh, no, that is closer to the older stealth suit.
It is closer to
I hate the new stealth suits.
Yeah, so do I.
I like the older stealth suits. I don't like the new stealth suits.
But no, I like the Ghost Kill. It's nice.
It's cool.
No, I hate them.
I don't know. We'll have to see, because the thing is, I think the Ghost Keel is going to rely on the invisibility or stealth mechanic, and from what I've understood by listening to the Long War and listening to a bunch of places, like, they like to edit the hell out of the invisibility rule, so it'll be interesting to see what the final rules on the Ghost Keel are and how those will play out. And of course, we also covered the Storm Surge, also called the Miles and Miles of Missiles mech.
Oh, nice.
It has kickstands, and it looks like it's going to be a Skyfire weapon, so...
Oh, yeah.
The thing I like, though, is the new Pathfinder kit. As much as I don't play GW games anymore, I would buy... a unit of these. I always love the Pathfinders. Here's the deal. More than anything in Games Workshop, they are beautiful. But more than anything in the Games Workshop line, I prefer Kill Team games over the big 40K games. I like the small 5-man, 10-man units.
Yeah,
that's
it. No, totally.
And I once had a unit of Pathfinders that were my Tau Kill Team, and they were brutal and brilliant, especially since the carbines invoke the carbines cause pinning. So the carbines would pin, yep. And the sniper rifle would just rip things apart. It was, or the rail rifle would just rip things apart. It's mm-hmm. just ridiculous. Loved every minute of it.
Nice.
Also, it looks like all they did was restock the Vanguard and Stern Guard, but they, it's weird. They put it in the, they put the Vanguard and Stern Guard restock into the new releases category. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, you know? It'll be interesting to see why that's where it is, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. So, the other thing is that, of course, with Forge World, I looked and some of the new releases they have are parts for the Taunar ridiculous battle suit.
The Taunar?
Yeah. Like I said, that thing's huge. We've already talked about it. We've already nerded over it ridiculously.
I know. It's lovely, though.
But there was also an entry for the Tau Advanced battle suits, which, to be honest, it looks like now we're playing Battletech or Transformers with the Tau. Like, the one thing that gets me is it looks like there's two different product directions going. There's the major, you've got the main Tau, which are the let's double down on battle suits, and then there's the Forge World Tau, which are like let's play Pacific Rim, the tabletop game, which there already was a Pacific Rim tabletop game. So, at any rate, so we've got
sure.
right. So we've got those things, but other than that, the world has been relatively 40K quiet recently. Just, you know, us complaining and whatnot. I have to get with Katie about some time so that we can do some interviewing. But other than that, everything's been kind of in place, I guess. Nothing too crazy. So,
there's been a massive amount going on in the world of 40K.
No. We kind of got a short show tonight, which is good, because we got a lot going on here in my house, and as I understand it, you're living on Red Bull and chocolate at this point.
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
I jokingly said that reminded me of my wife's diet right before we got to recording, so... So at any rate, at this point we go to the Devotions of the Faithful, and as I said, I have heard of a number of people who have submitted reviews, but I guess they're sitting in iTunes review before they get put out to be shared. I don't understand exactly how iTunes works on that, but...
They'll be sitting in waiting for a review to make sure that they don't have any explicit language on them or anything like that.
Oh no, we're an explicit podcast. How dare they do that? Anyway.
It's Apple for you.
Yeah, I know. They're waiting for Steve Jobs to approve it. Oh, too soon? Anyway. So at any rate, there is...
4 years is fine.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. So at any rate, just to let you guys know, we would not be anywhere without the support of our fans. And we would love to share with the community what you think of us. So obviously, leave us a... You know, do your part. Do your part. Leave us a review on iTunes.
Do your due diligence.
Leave us on a review on iTunes. Leave us a review on Stitcher. If you like us, set something up on Twitter. You know, let people know what you think and how you listen to us. All the information will be at the end of the show, obviously. We look forward to hearing from you guys and wanting to know what you guys think and what you guys want to hear about and what you guys want to talk about. Very important that we get that information, because it really helps shape our show in the very same way that the founders shape Founder Access in Eternal Crusade. So we're at the end of our content. I want to thank everybody.
As we've said in the past, Well, as we've said in the past, it means that it tells our bosses that we're doing a good job and we will eventually get paid.
Paid? What are you... Paid. At any rate. So, like I said, we enjoyed our time together. I enjoyed listening. I enjoyed talking with you, Ging. And
enjoy talking to you, Kelton.
Oh, that's so sweet. and we enjoy being in your ear holes once a week, letting people know about Eternal Crusade as much as we can, of course. So at this rate, I am Katsu, he is Gigabyte, and this is our thought for the day.
The mortal burden carried dutifully to its destination is the Emperor's greatest praise.
See y'all next week.
Bye.
The Adeptus Terra thanks you for tuning into tonight's broadcast of Vox Arcana, a production of Holosuite Media. Be sure to check our website, iTunes, or Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered Voxcasts and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Vox Arcana, or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to voxarcona@gmail.com. Return next week for yet another communique from the Vox Arcana.